Today's a special day for us. We're going to have a child dedication service. Blade and Mason is going to dedicate Lane to be raised in God's house. So guys, this is a special time in the life of your child. She will not remember this, but you can tell her about it. And it'll be a wonderful time. It's a commitment you're making. But this goes back to the Old Testament in 1 Samuel. And I'm going to read from the Message. And this is Hannah speaking. O God of angel armies, if you'll take a good hard look at my pain, if you'll quit neglecting me and go into action for me by giving me a son, I will give him completely, unreservedly to you. I'll set him apart for a life of holy discipline. Well, God answered that prayer and gave her a son, Samuel. And when Samuel was weaned, she brought Samuel back to the high priest. And this is what she said. Excuse me, sir, would you believe that I'm the very woman who is standing before you in this spot, praying to God? I prayed for this child and God gave me what I asked for. And now I'm dedicating him to you. He's dedicated to God for life. Then and there, they worship God. Blade and Macy, you're making a commitment to raise Elaine to know God. There will come a time that she'll ask you a lot of questions about life and faith and things like that. But you're doing it in your power to give her every opportunity to know and to love God. Let me ask you a couple questions and then I'll get you a response. Do you now in all sincerity come before God as witness and to dedicate this child? Will you pray for Elaine and teach her to pray? Will you lead a life that exemplifies God's word in your life? Will you bring her to church? Will you teach her God's principles and morals for a living? Will you be strong in your marriage so that she will have a good, solid home to live and grow up in? And when it comes time in your life that they're ready to make a decision to follow Christ, will you lead her and guide her and help her? If so, answer, we will. Good. One of the important things we do, the bank does it to us, and is that they have us sign a document declaring our commitment. Would you come up and do this, please? Macy, if you'll sign there. Well, this goes with you, and you can keep it in your house or frame it or whatever, but it's a commitment that you're making before us. Friends, today, Blade and Macy have come to make a commitment to raise Lane to know God. Will you help them in this task? Will you provide opportunities for growth and nurture and care for them and Lane? If so, answer, we will. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you and give you great thanks for the commitment that Blade and Lane have, Macy have made for Lane. And Father, will you bless them in their life in every way? Will you bless them in their marriage and their employment and Father in their raising of this child? Will you pour out your blessings upon them? And Father, for their family and friends that surround them, may they be supportive of them as well. Father, we just thank you for the commitment and the covenant they have made with you today. Bless them, Father. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Thank you. That's kind of a neat thing that we do here twice a year on Mother's Day and Thanksgiving. I want us to look at Psalm 50 today, and God is going to talk about Thanksgiving, but in a kind of a different way. So if you have your Bibles at the back of your bulletin, if you'll just, take it out and take a look. And Asaph is writing this, and I want to share with you the background. This is the background that he said. I want you to imagine God sitting there, and he's calling his people before him. In verse 1, the mighty one, God, the Lord, has spoken and summoned the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Gather my godly ones to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens declared their righteousness, and God himself is judged. Now, God is bringing them before Him. He says, I've got an indictment with you. I have a problem with you. And God is going to outline the problem that He has with His people. And then He's going to tell them two things for them to do. And He's going to give them a blessing. So let's look at that. Look at verse 7. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, Israel. I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I do not reprove you for your sacrifices and your burnt offerings are continually before me. Now, his indictment was insincere sacrifices. Now, these people were diligent in the things that they were doing. They were bringing their sacrifices just as they were taught to bring them. They were bringing their tithes as they were taught to bring their tithes. They were doing the things that God's people should be doing on an outward basis. And God says, I have no problem with you bringing your tithes. You're not slackers. He said, you're doing these things, but and He says, and you're bringing them to me, and you're following all the other things you should do. And He says, this is what you're doing. Now, many years later in the prophet Malachi, he will write to them and say, guess what? You're not doing the outward things that you should do at all. You've stopped. But they were doing the things, and what they thought was this. If we bring our sacrifices and our tithes and we observe all the festivals and all the things, we've got to be good with God. We've just got to be good. And that's how they were looking at it, that, you know, they were doing these things and they were good with God. And, you know, then God's got to be happy. If I pay my tithe and do the sacrifices and all the special days and I do all the things that God asked me on the Sabbath, I'm good. Is it possible that we feel the same way? That if we do the things that God likes, do the things that God tells us to do, you know, if we go to church and we have communion and we give our tithes and offerings and we listen to the minister and we sing some songs, we got to be good. God, you know, can't say anything about us. Why? We're doing the things that people who love God do. It's just how we do them. You know, it's possible. Let me challenge your thinking a little bit. It's possible that we get caught up in doing the good things. Take your salvation, for example. Faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. They're all four things go together, one right after the other. And you say, guess what, God? I've done all four of those things. I'm good. You have to accept me. But these are the externals. And what we say is this. I have got all the boxes checked, so it doesn't matter how I live. I've checked the boxes. It's not right, is it? See, if you have actually made a relationship with God, you will see fruits of the Spirit, you know, God working in you. And sometimes we worship out of superstition. Let me tell you kind of a sad story. When I first went into ministry, I was in a seminary. We took a ministry up in Morrow, Ohio, and I was part-time there, and we drove up every Sunday. And I'd never done a funeral in my life. I had two funerals from the same family within 3 months of each other. On a Sunday afternoon, I got a call, and this family's father was extremely ill. And I thought he had died. And the fact is, his daughter, who was 37 years old, died of a heart attack. And I did her funeral. Several months later, I did the funeral of her father. He was a non-practicing Catholic, and no priest would do his funeral. And I did his funeral for him. And I remember sitting in this small group, and the daughters were there, and I talked to them, and they said, you know what, we're going to pay the priest to pray for him. And I said, do you believe that? And they said, no, we don't believe it at all, but we're afraid not to do it. See, God doesn't want you coming to His house because you are afraid not to do it. Does that make sense? He wants you coming because it's something you want to do. God says you are diligent in your tithes and offerings. Jesus spoke to the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees were people who did everything to the book. Let me read what Jesus said to them in Matthew 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you tithe men and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. In other words, he says, you should have been tithing and you should be doing all the things, the offerings and all the things that you're supposed to be doing. But the other side of it was just as important. Faith, justice, and mercy. He says, that's when you do these things, that should overflow. See, faith and justice and mercy, you know, didn't suffice for, you know, the other obedience thing. But he says, you've missed it. You got the outward side looking really great. See, I think it's entirely possible that you have family and friends, and I have family and friends, who've done the big four, and there's no sign of life in them. They've repented, confessed, faith, baptism, the whole bit. Jesus says, how, you know, what he's talking about here is how you relate to others. He said, you missed it. You missed it. You think it's all about the little stuff. And the little stuff are important. And they should be done because they're obedience. But he says, it's about me. Here's the second thing he says. You're giving me lip service to my laws. And look at verse 16. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to tell my statutes and take covenant in your mouth? For you hate discipline and you cast my words behind you. He said, you're giving me lip service. And it goes back to Deuteronomy chapter 1, in which it tells him to read the law to the people, read God's word to them. King Josiah read the entire covenant. He had all the people, and I think they stood for hours, the reading of the law to the people. He says, what you're doing is, you're getting up and reading the law. And you go, amen, let it be. And you don't believe it. You don't believe any of it. And you hate the discipline. He says, what you're doing is, you are simply giving lip service. It's coming off your lips. It's not coming from your heart at all. And what he said was, in spite of your worship of me, in spite of the things that you do, you rejected me. For you hate discipline and you cast my words behind you. Now, here's the thought. Is it possible that we, as believers, despise the Word of God? We sing a song, it's the Apostles' Creed, but one of the songs we sing is We Believe. We believe in God the Father, the Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His Son, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and given birth. And it goes on, we believe. What he was saying to them is this. You are declaring that you believe who I am, but you despise my words. Is it possible that we are like that? What do you think God thinks about us? We come and we worship. But God, when I look at your word, for somehow you haven't evolved. You haven't evolved to where we are. God, you're behind the times. God, what you said here is, I think you got it wrong. Is it possible that God would simply say to us, if you don't believe my word, do you believe in me? You ever thought about it that way? God says, this is my revelation to you. This is how you're to live. This is what I want for you. This is what I desire for you. He says, well, God, you know, I'm not for sure you got it right. Wouldn't we be just like those people who despise, you read the word, but despise God's word? Another thing he says and says is, I don't need your gifts. I own it all. Look at verse 9. For I shall take no young bull out of your house or male goats out of your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. I know every bird of the mountains and everything that moves in the field is mine. He says, I'm not in poverty. I'm not in poverty. I don't need your stuff. I don't need the things that you feel that you give me, and you should give me, but he says, I'm not in poverty. You bring the first fruits to me. He says, I don't have to have it. Many, many years ago, my father came down to visit my mom and dad, and my sister came and visited, and we were coming up I-75 and getting ready to turn on 138, and we were talking about the family farm. And my dad reminded me that we don't really own that farm. It's going to be passed on to somebody else. Today, that farm is passed on to another family. What my dad was saying in his way was, everything you and I have are simply gifts from God. Your house, your property, your stuff. It's on loan to you. That's all it is. You had the privilege that God has allowed you to live in the house that you live in, enjoy the things that come into your life because God has granted those things and allowed those things. But guess what? You're not going to take them with you. You don't own them. God says, don't be prideful. Because when you bring things to me, because I'm not in poverty at all. He says, don't be prideful in what you give me. Now, we're going to do taxes here in 30 days, aren't we? And when you'll get ready to do your taxes, you'll get all your stuff together and you'll look at that and you'll see how much you made and you'll begin to itemize. Just a thought. Does your giving reflect what God has done for you? It should. And if you've given a lot, please don't brag about it. Don't tell anybody about what you've given. Because all the praise that you get will be here. Do you know what God says? Not only do I own everything, I'm not in poverty, but what He says is, I don't need your sacrifices to survive. In verse 12, for if I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and it contains. Shall I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the goat blood of male goats? He says, you're naive to think that I need your stuff. You know, God didn't need our tithes at all. That is what we do as believers. It's what God has taught us to be givers. You remember last week I talked about tithing for the first time in almost 3 years. And we said this. Look at your giving. And it's very plain. God says, if I don't bring anything into your house, I don't put anything in your checkbook, you just worship me. Don't worry about your giving. If you can't. But it's not about what we give. And I talked about the bottle of water. You remember that? That, you know, you can give God something. You know, if you drink a bottle of water every day and you pay $1.50 for it, just take one day and say, God, I'm not going to drink the water today because I'm going to bless you. And that's how we get blessed. But our unwillingness to give says a lot about us. Now, just think for a second. God says, you have got that stuff down pat. You're doing exactly what I told you to do. But I got a problem. How could God have a problem? The reason is, they went through the motions without a heart for God. This is what it's all about, isn't it? They failed to realize the significance. Everything that God had asked them to do was training them on how to worship Him, how to have a relationship with Him, how to live in the world in which they were living. He says, this is how I have trained you. This is what I desire for you. Is it possible that you and I miss the significance of things? I think baptism and communion, I don't think you get the significance when you're first baptized or the significance of taking communion until many years later as you grow in your faith. They're very deep things, have great meaning and value to us. But sometimes we just miss out. And sometimes we go through the motions of things. But when you confess your faith, you're saying, I stand with God in His Son Jesus. If you lived in Paul's day like Polycarp in the first century, he was in his 70s And he was asked to declare that Caesar's Lord, and he says no when they killed him. That's what confession of faith meant then. See, baptism is much more than getting wet. It's more than just something that we do. It's what God does for us. And giving is a time of recognition of what God has done. And also, when you come and sing praises to God. See, all of these things are things that we do and we should do and God asks us to do. But He says it's possible, just possible, that you have missed the reason behind it. You don't have a heart for me. You love the Christian songs, you listen to Christian radio, and you just like those, the beat, but He says you've missed it. See, they were not the only ones who went through the motions. Their pagan neighbors offered sacrifices to their gods. Nowhere in pagan worship is it ever spoken that they wanted a relationship with God at all. They came asking. We do some weird stuff. We have family and friends who come to church on Christmas and Easter just so God will know they're there. Come on, guys. That doesn't make sense to you, does it? Can you see where we have gone? It's possible in our life to go that way. God says, I want you to have a heart for me. It's the reason we do the things we do. The reason you sing praises is to honor God. The reason you give is to be obedient to Him. The reason you take communion is because Jesus told us to. And all the reasons. Let's say, for example, guys, you go to your mother-in-law's house for Christmas, and you'll be going at Christmas, and you go only to appease the wife. Very little joy. But what if you go because you want to go? There's happiness for everybody, isn't it? Now God says, listen, I got your attention. You think you're doing so good. And the problem is you don't have a heart for me. He says, now this is what you got to do. And I want to share this with you. Okay? Bring sacrifices of thanksgiving to me. Now there are a lot of sacrifices and stuff in there, and I'm just going to kind of share them. One of the major ones was a burnt offering. And this was when you had sinned and you'd bring an offering to God for your sins. The other was a trespass offering. And this had to do with the monetary gift. It was when, let's say you were out chopping wood and the axe flew off and flew over the neighbor's thing and killed his prize goat. Well, there was a price you would pay and you'd come and you'd make that, you know, restitution. And then there were some offerings that were volunteer offerings. You could bring a burnt offering to God to express devotion or commitment to Him. And there was a peace offering, which was one of the best offerings. It was a free will offering. It meant your love for God. It was given out of a love for God. Nothing else. Just a love for God. Now guys, you may want to try this. If you go out and buy a gift for your wife and it's her birthday, that's one thing. It's an anniversary, that's another. It's a Christmas, that, you know, that's another reason. Or if you're in deep weeds with her, that's another reason. But what if you just go out one day and you just buy her a gift? It's not her birthday. You're not in deep weeds. Everything is good. And you bring that gift home to her. What do you think that's going to do? That's going to make a statement, isn't it? Honey, I love you just because of who you are. He said, God says, give me a gift. Just because of who I am. My love for you. Look at verse 14. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. He says, what is so unique about it is this. You're not asking me for anything. It's just given. It's given to honor me. God says, I'd like a gift like that one day. I'd like that type of gift. Have you got family or friends that when you see their call come through, you don't want to pick it up? Or maybe relatives. You know, maybe a child. Because you know, when you pick up that phone, you're not going to like the conversation. They're going to ask you to do something. They never have ever called you that they didn't need a favor. They just never call to see how you're doing. They call because they want you to do something for Him. God says, you don't treat me any differently. What's your prayers like? My prayers are a lot of asking God. What I want you to do this week, I want you to pray to the Father and just thank Him. Don't ask Him to do anything for you. God, I thank You. You know what? That's going to be a hard prayer for us. Because as soon as we start that, we're going to bring in what we need. Now, there's a time. But God says, sometimes I just want your heart to say, God, I just love You because You have loved me. You're God and I recognize that. And begin to bring those prayers of thanksgiving to God. Just thank Him. And for some of you, maybe you need to give Him a gift. Now, it's not about giving money to First Christian Church at all. If you want to give God a thanksgiving gift, a gift to God, give it to something that God values, and that's people. There are a lot of Christian groups that help a lot of people along the way. God says, honor me. Keep my promises. I'm not going to spend much time with this, but God says, pay your vows to the Most High. See, God says, when you make a promise to me, I want you to fulfill it. Blade and Macy made a promise to God today that they were going to raise that child to know God. Keep your vows. Many times we make vows to God, and then we get in a tight place. We make financial vows to God. We make relationship vows to God. We make church vows to God. We make that, God, if You get me out of this mess, I'm going to do better next time. God says, if You make them, honor Me by keeping them. And then I want to close with this. God says, when you honor Me and you keep them, something good is going to happen to you. And what is that? Look at verse 14. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon Me in the day of trouble and I shall rescue you and you will honor Me. God says, call upon Me. You know something we never forget? God is with us when life is the best we've ever had. Have you ever thought about that? God is with us when life is as good as it's ever been. We only think God is with us when life is horrible. And we have a need. Sometimes we are crisis Christians. Missionaries go to foreign countries and one of the things they do is they'll go to a country that lives in poverty and they will not give people what will make their life better. And it's back home, we say, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We go to hotels, we've got all this little soaps and all this little shampoos, and we bottle it up and box it up and tell the missionary, when you go, just give them that. He said, I can't give them that. He says, I'll have Rice Christians. They'll come for one reason, what America gives them. Not for the real reason that who God is. And so he says, you know, God is with us all the time. But we've got to look at what we do. God says, I'm going to honor you. Call upon Me. He says, you're welcome to call. You're welcome to pray. Now, God always hears a prayer of salvation. Always. Don't matter who you are, where you are, what's the circumstance. God says, if you come seeking salvation, I hear. But God says, I want you to know when you bring thanksgiving to Me and you keep your vow to Me, you're welcome to call. My children are welcome to call us. Pat and I, anytime. Why? We have a relationship with them that makes it welcome. Our grandchildren are welcome to call us at any time because of the way they treat us and the relationship that we have. And what did God say? And I will answer your prayers. I'll answer them. God says, I want you to have a heart for me. And I want to challenge you to have a heart for God. You may be doing all these things that, and you should be doing, but He says, I want you to do them because you love me. That's a big jump for us. It's not going through the emotions. Will you stand with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and Father, with thanksgiving, we've enjoyed it. But Father, may we bring an offering of thanksgiving to you, a heart for you, Father. Father, will you just look at our life? And Father, we have those who have a lot of issues, and Father, they love you. We just ask, Father, that you'll provide the healing to the life they need, the guidance they need, the friends they need around them, and the things they need to help them. Father, may we just give you thanks for who you are. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you'd like to make a decision to accept Christ, today is a great day to do it. And if you say, well, Ryan, I can't come in front, I'll meet you out back in the foyer and I'll help you make that stand.